afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Wednesday, get you through the many crises we are dealing with. In a world where few things are reliable, we are reliable. It's the Jason Rancho Live on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on all those smart speakers out there like Amazon Echo and Google Home. We got a ton of stuff to get to. We only have 3 hours to do it. Another night of protests turn to rioting in Seattle. We'll tell you what happened. An update on the coronavirus. Yes, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. Plus, it was Antifa versus Proud Boys and adults versus teens at a Snohomish rally this week. Mayor John Kartak is going to help set the record straight when he joins us at 3:30. This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Big picture.
There is near unanimous agreement all across this country and arguably all around the world. George Floyd was murdered by Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. No matter your race, your gender, your religion, your ideology, we have all pretty much come together across the country after we saw that brutal and shocking video of George Floyd being murdered. And that unity was inspiring because people saw the same thing, and for once, everyone came out of it saying the same thing. This is disturbing. This is outrageous. This monster, Derek Chauvin, needs to go to jail. The other officers who stood by and did absolutely nothing, there needs to be punishment. Unfortunately, that unity went away. Because then came the mob of privileged white progressives exploiting this moment to declare themselves brave for speaking up. They spent less time talking about George Floyd and more time about why they personally have experienced an awakening of sorts. These upscale urbanites turned a tragic death, a murder, into an opportunity to pat themselves on the backs. And if you don't take their positions, they will woke scold you. And though you didn't actually ask, though no one really asked, they will quickly tell you how proudly heroic they are to fight bigotry. They're heroes because they say they fight bigotry, except they don't. Not really. They don't fight bigotry. They talk about fighting bigotry. And they only talk about it when it's a part of a bigger movement that they can attach themselves to. In between the postings of these selfies that they take sporting their new Lululemon zip hoodies and their cool new sunglasses, hashtag no filter. In between those posts, you got a whole bunch of privileged white women spending the last week or so posting on social media about how woke they are. The woke white dudes, progressives, they post their memes, say his name, on Instagram. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen this post over the last week. I saw post after post after insufferable post from random people on Instagram, media members on Facebook, and blue check marks on Twitter. And the trend was less about George Floyd and coming together and even coming up with a policy prescription, and more about these individuals talking about their own very, very, very brave decision to speak up. Then the corporations got involved. We saw it happen yesterday. The Blackout Tuesday, where individuals and corporations were posting just a black screen. And boy, how quickly did that fall, because there were folks who were part of the protest who were speaking out against this because it made it more difficult for them to get information on social media about what they needed to know concerning the protests. But you had corporation after corporation stepping up and gladly virtue signaling. Airbnb decided to post and then say, hey, we're donating $500,000 to Black Lives Matter and the NAACP. They do this having just cut 1,900 jobs. They cut their workforce by 25%, but now they're donating money. this should not be seen as them wanting to step up and support BLM or NAACP. This is them trying to put an investment in their future. Uncrate, have you ever seen that website? I love it.
Never heard of it.
I love it because they show you a whole bunch of things that no one can afford.
Uncrate?
Uncrate.
So they send you crates.
They don't send you anything.
Dog
I don't
crates?
Know why they actually call it Uncrate, but it's a website that will say, hey, here is a new watch. It costs $37,000. And you look at it and you tell yourself, of course, I would love to have this, but we would never be able to. Here's a new yacht. They decided yesterday to post their black screen in solidarity with protesters and Americans who can never actually afford any of what they sell. You had the Sounders yesterday saying they back Black Lives Matter while embracing Antifa flag-waving supporters that are in their crowd. Now, on the surface, of course, when any of this happens, there's obviously nothing wrong with speaking out against an injustice. And what happened to George Floyd was, in fact, a gross injustice. But I couldn't help but wonder, for all these people who proclaim their wokeness, all these companies coming out and so passionately speaking against racism, why don't they ever come and talk about the issues when there's not a mass movement to get behind? We have these conversations about why nothing seems to get done. Is it not obvious? For these folks who claim that mantle of bravery in the name of fighting bigotry, where were they a few months ago in February when Jews were being viciously and repeatedly beaten in the streets of New York and New Jersey? Did they have their powerful memes get posted condemning the assaults? Did they talk about it at all? They weren't so woke at that point, were they? And we now have Antifa and anarchists and professional activists on our streets declaring themselves anti-racist because they say they're fighting against white supremacy, but at the exact same moment, they support the anti-Semitic BDS movement, boycott, divest, sanction, which is a movement against Israel that exclusively blames Israel, the Jews, for everything that's happening in that region. And they end up siding with an actual radical Islamic terrorist organization called Hamas. You can't be anti-racism when you're an anti-Semite, folks. Oftentimes, these same people will then offer their disingenuous lectures about white fragility that they learned in some online seminar about microaggressions. And by the way, they only took it to brag to their insulated groupthink-addled friend group about their new progressive bona fides. But that's pretty much it. Everything they do, this group of faux activists, everything they do fundamentally is about themselves. Not the people they proclaim to support. Not the folks they tell you they support. They come out against hate when they think it's popular and it earns them some social media currency. Meanwhile, they end up staying silent when there isn't a movement to exploit for likes and retweets. They're hypocrites. They're selfish. But they think that they're somehow brave for speaking up. And we again ask ourselves, why doesn't something change? Heaven forbid they condemn the looting and the riots. Instead of calling out that violence, what do? They justify it. They make excuses. They tell you, don't you dare say looting doesn't help. They justify it not because they actually believe that the violence, the rioting, the looting is the right thing to do. That's not why they justify it. They justify it because they're scared they might offend someone in Black Lives Matter. But these beliefs aren't just condescending. That position is not just condescending. It's rather ironically racist. Because they assume all looters are black and that by calling it out, they might offend a person of color. I'm sorry, but most people, regardless of their race, regardless of anything, can see the dangers of burning down American cities and destroying businesses. That some white progressives don't seem to realize that in and of itself is offensive and wrong. So if you're seeing what's happening around this country and here in our cities, in our communities, and you actually want conversations and meaningful policy changes, whatever those might end up being, on this issue or frankly any issue, we got to start collectively calling out these fraudsters. Their obnoxious self-preening doesn't actually conduce to improve any kind of outcome that's positive for society. None at all. I will call George Floyd a victim of a murder, not because it gets me some points, but because he's the victim of a murder. I don't benefit from that. And I don't say it for a pat on the back, because we all should be saying that. You don't get a pat on the back for doing the right thing. It should be expected of us. And at the same time, I'm also going to call out the attacks on Jews in New York, New Jersey, or anywhere, because it's the right thing to do. Not just because it's my own community being attacked. We cover these issues every single day on this show. When there's a big movement like there is right now, of course we go wall to wall, because it's important. But for those of you who listen every single day, for those of you who read my blog at ktth.com, you also know that when there's an issue that's not getting a whole bunch of community attention or nationwide attention, I'm going to shine a spotlight on that as well. And again, I don't do that for the pats on the back. I don't do that to call myself brave. I do that because we should. But I got to say, I have been seeing so many progressives lecturing us to be more like them, and it's driving me insane. It is maddening. It's maddening because they don't care about any of this. They care about themselves, and that's the problem. Rather than offering solutions, rather than offering meaningful discussions, the social media activists, these progressives, they only offer self-praise. Where do you think that gets any of us? Last night, there was more chaos in the streets of Seattle, this time yet again on Capitol Hill. Some of the marchers got unruly. And of course, we throw in the line, because this is true, it started off as peaceful before it turned to and took a turn for the worse. We do that all the time. It is now a script that I could literally read off of. That's what happens. It starts fine, then it gets unruly, then we have the conversation about whether or not the cops did the right thing in breaking up the unruly protest. It happens every single day, and it's happening every single day because there is no leadership. There's no leadership. Here is a protester talking to Cuomo last night.
There's no real, like, leadership. It's just, this is all kind of mishmashed right now, so it's the beginning stages of trying to get something going.
But you're mad right now. What are you mad about? What do you want to see happen? We obviously know something that did happen that we are all upset about, the murder of George Floyd, but now what? Everyone is already on the same page as far as that murder. We're all on the same page. So then what? What is it exactly that we should be doing next? Other than to be able to protest the exact same way as you feel you have the right to protest, which for some people seems to include throwing stuff at cops, beyond that, what do you want to have happen next? That's the conversation that isn't really happening right now, is it?
What I was disappointed by was the city's response to the whole kick and caboodle. They came out over at the fire station downtown, and all we got were platitudes and community advisory board, it sounds like, with no power and no real accountability. So it sounds like a bunch of lip service.
Then I don't think you know how government works. You don't have power, you have the vote. You're the ones. This community is overwhelmingly progressive. They are the ones who put into positions of power Jenny Durkin and Chama Sawant, Andrew Lewis, Dan Strauss. All of these leaders have been put in place by you. If you do not like what it is they're doing, vote them out of office. Now, the one thing that I've been able to get from all of these protesters, the ones who are the loudest at least, and oftentimes the ones that are the loudest don't necessarily reflect everyone in a group, they want to defund the police. In fact, on the Black Lives Matter website, their movement calls for the defunding of police, which means right then and there, they are tearing people away from that kind of unity that we all felt after the murder of George Floyd. I was with them at that time. I'm not with them now. Defund the police? That is an idea that is a mix of police abolition and literally taking police for most instances of what we see as quote-unquote policing. They know that that's not an easy sell. The hardcore activists, the Shama Sawants of the world, the Tammy Moraleses of the world, they know that that's not easy. The AOCs of the world. So to get to that point, to get us to side with them, what do? They have to win an argument, right? They have to win this social argument, because trying to get a non-fringe ideologue, which is 97% of the world, to take a position that's that crazy, that's not easy. You're not going to be able to just do that. So what do? You create instances where you can position the cops as evil. You had a case where George Floyd was murdered by a cop and the country reacted. They reacted quickly. They reacted exactly the same way. This is wrong. This cop needs to be punished. Not just fired, but put in jail. But activists wanted more. You didn't hear their cries to defund the police. They didn't hear you taking on that position. All they heard was a rather reasonable demand, which is charge Derek Chauvin. Put him in jail. But that wasn't enough. So activists decided to take to the streets. They brought their like-minded friends with them to take advantage of some of the anger and angst surrounding this murder. And then they convinced others that not enough is being done. People who, if you told them what was being done, they probably would have said, okay, you know what? That is reasonable. That makes sense. But they were angry. They were emotional. And they were vulnerable enough to get taken advantage of by some of these activists. And so you get together, you have this huge protest, but you need to incite the cops. Because then you have the imagery that you need to bring even more people into your tent. Not everyone is inciting the cops. Not even a large portion of the protests. Not even just here in Seattle, but across the country. They are not inciting the cops, but enough are. Last night, a block away from the East Precinct, protesters decided yet again to start throwing things at cops. They chose to throw rocks, bottles, anything they could at cops. So, of course, the cops then respond. They move to disperse. They use tear gas. They use flashbang grenades. They continue with their orders. You must disperse. This is now a riot. Now, of course, if you're not aware of what's going on in a rather large group, because there are small portions of the group causing this chaos, what ends up happening is that otherwise peaceful protester thinks what's going on is wrong, and they get upset. Some of them will defend or even justify the assault on cops. But think about for a second what that means. We had the conversation yesterday. I saw a tweet of someone who said, so the cops are wearing helmets and riot gear. It doesn't hurt when they get hit by a rock. That is, of course, a ridiculous position to take. But it's also outrageous. So you're claiming it's okay to throw a rock at a cop, but the second that maybe it becomes deadly, then you'll jump in. When a cop actually dies, is that what we're now waiting for? Mike Baker from the New York Times, he had a string of tweets today. He was showing videos of moments all across the country, not just here in Seattle, where protests were broken up by the cops when they decided to intervene. And so he would show, look, in this case, this is when people started to throw stuff. Or people started to get into scuffles and then they sort of forced the hand. And the question was really, well, when are we supposed to get involved? When are the cops supposed to get involved? So when are the cops supposed to get involved? I'd love to hear from the activists in that community. Some of them will say, you never, ever, ever get involved. Those are the folks who don't believe we should have a police department. That is an unreasonable position that's not going to unite people. So when do we get involved? Because this is what's happening to our cops.
Rocks, bottles, and other projectiles were hurled at officers. One officer was struck in the face with a large piece of concrete, and several more officers sustained injuries.
Including a broken ankle. And so we now have people defending this like this.
You can rebuild a building, but you can't get back human life. A building can be rebuilt, but when a life is lost, it's a problem.
There's not a single person out there who's saying it's not a problem when a life is lost. Everyone is saying it's a problem when an innocent life is lost. We have a system of laws in place to take care of that. Now, you have not been failed by the judicial system here, and I don't think you will. The image of what happened to George Floyd is that powerful. So what exactly are we doing? We've got folks who have decided to encourage the looting. Endorse the looting, like Tammy Morales, a socialist Seattle City Councilwoman.
Rocks, bottles, and...
That's the wrong clip. This is the right one.
But what I don't want to hear is for our constituents to be told to be civil, not to be reactionary, to be told that looting doesn't solve anything.
Don't tell folks that looting doesn't solve anything. Well, let's talk to Eric Chan, who's the owner of Jade Garden. It's a restaurant in the International District, which socialist Seattle City Councilmember Tammy Morales represents. They ransacked his business. They ransacked about a couple dozen in the International District.
Our restaurant's already boarded up, but they pried off the plywood. They pried it off and then smashed through the window and then went to the cash register.
Her constituents are the victims. And so I suppose the next question that we hope that Tammy Morales will respond to is, tell us what the looting and the destruction to that business and all those others in your own district, tell us what was solved as a result of that. And we wonder why we don't see quote-unquote change after what we experience. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show, 1-800-465-8770. In Snohomish, it was Proud Boys versus Antifa, adults versus teenagers. It got out of hand. John Kartak is the mayor of Snohomish. He's going to join us now and help us explain and understand what exactly happened there. It's The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. The city of Snohomish has seen some demonstrations since over the weekend, and video that was posted online shows some scuffles between counter-protesters mixing it up with some of the members of the Black Lives Matter protest, which included high school students. In one video, one of the counter-protesters, an adult, punches a teenager in the face. In other cases, some of the counter-protesters were carrying a Confederate flag, leaving some wondering whether or not they're the ones looking for trouble. Or maybe we don't have all the details to the story. Joining me on the line to give us the details is the mayor of Snohomish, John Kartak. Mayor Kartak, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jason. Thank you for having me on the show. There's better circumstances I would rather be interviewed by, but this is just one of those things where... I would like to set some of the record straight, and actually much of the record straight. I won't be able to speak to every single issue because there's ongoing investigations, but I would really like to straighten out some stuff.
Well, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Okay, very good. So we had on Sunday afternoon a situation where there was a threat, and the threat was against our city, and that was by the Emerald City Antifa. There was a social media post that was put up and then taken back down. It was noted, and my police chief called me Sunday afternoon early and ordered me to meet at the emergency operations center that he was activating. And as soon as I got there, there were over 50 officers there waiting in queue for the situation as it may unfold, that they would be ready to converge on where the problem area. And so the emergency operations center is at the fire station just north of, on the north end of town. Anyway, there was a bus. Officers were ready to converge if necessary. Based on some conversations I had with my chief, we both had decided that we didn't want to make the massive presence down on First Street because there's no sense in giving credit where credit's not due. the Antifa is a group of thugs in any way. We did have a fairly significant presence besides that down on First Street. We put some assets at the police station. We put some assets in front of City Hall, recognizing that the situation in Seattle, public buildings tend to be targets. And anyway, meanwhile, my police chief wasn't the only one who picked up on this news. There were a large contingency of truck drivers, and I don't know if that means big rigs or pickup trucks, but my understanding is a large group of truckers came into Snohomish and got out of their trucks, and they walked up and down First Street to protect it. Just about every single business owner on First Street mm-hmm. came out to stand in front of their own businesses. We had a bunch of bikers come in, and they came down to protect First Street. And so this is the remarkable difference between the Seattle model and the Snohomish model. And the issue is that there were some maybe less desirables who showed up in some of these, in some groups that maybe have reputations that, whether they're warranted or not.
Like who?
Their reputations that are...
Are you referring to the Proud Boys?
I'm not going to give any names because I'm not going to give credit to anything. And I've mentioned Antifa.
You have, and that's kind of why I asked that question, because you point out Antifa, so Antifa, and you should, by the way, point out Antifa. Yes, Antifa yes, groups in this yes, region are out of control.
That's right. They're
but
the
to be
ones
to,
who,
hold on one second. Hold on.
In the first place,
give me just one second, just to point out, Emerald City Antifa yep. has said that they have not. They were not the ones responsible for the posts. At the same time, by the way, though, their Twitter account and their Instagram account has both been suspended. So take that for what it's worth. Usually these accounts don't get suspended.
And everybody's going to have to decide for themselves whether whatever that value is. But when you have police agencies of every sort from every municipality practically across Snohomish County showing up with a SWAT team, and I mean, we had officers from Arlington, mm-hmm. from Edmonds, Everett, cities all over the area. Washington State Patrol. We had the Washington State Liquor and Cannabis here, and they don't all show up unless there's a credible threat. They don't do this because
I think that's fair.
You know, would like to stage something. Those who want to challenge this, I find that highly offensive. To our police agencies, to my police chief, and anyway, with all that, what's taken place is there have been some alt-right, alt-left groups that show up. There's actually a motorcycle gang that's known for being notorious. There's some members that showed up as well, and for whatever it's worth, they don't define our town. They come into our town. Our community tends to be welcoming to all people of all races, all colors, all genders. And anyway, so what happens is that there are media types who will come in and take advantage of a certain imagery. Unfortunately, there was some very ugly imagery that happened to show up. They do not define my community.
But let's talk.
They don't speak to what
Mayor Kartak,
chief support.
Mayor Kartak, one moment. I need you to take a breath for because I want to throw in some of the questions. And by the way,
I'm a little bit upset.
I can tell that you're upset, and I can tell that this means a lot to you because you care deeply about your community. And for those of you who are just joining us, we're talking with the mayor of Snohomish, John Kartak, of some of these situations that's happened over the past several days of protesters on both sides. Clashing at times, and we have information to suggest that was posted online that Antifa was going to be showing up, and the law enforcement agencies in Snohomish County took this very seriously. At the same time, you also had Proud Boy members showing up, and there is video of two things that I do think is alarming, and we should talk about it because you don't want it to define the city of Snohomish. So number one, we saw that some.
Well, members? Just 1 second. It does not define.
Yes,
it,
you do not want it to define.
Snohomish.
Correct.
It does not define our community.
You do not want it to define. So let's call it out. On the one hand, we saw the Confederate flag being carried, which does not make sense in the city of Snohomish. And the number two, there has been video showing an adult. I don't know who he was with. He was part of the counter protesters. Punching in the face a kid, a high school student, who was participating in the Black
Shameful.
Lives Matter.
Yeah, just ugly, just terrible.
Both of those
exactly.
things.
And anyway, I can tell you we've had people come into our city ever since Sunday. Actually, on Saturday, the day before this, we had a very peaceful example of people showing up and holding signs and protesting racism, protesting what happened to a poor fella who had a knee put on his neck, and which killed him. And it's one of those things where we had a very peaceful demonstration with maybe up to 500 people the day before. And then when this threat came down for Sunday, they decided they wanted to hit small town America. And America's best small town would be Snohomish. That's why they chose Snohomish. And we did have identified up to five Antifa members that did show up, including a leader who apparently is very recognizable, who was here. And anyway, what they saw was a very unified community, and not just maybe, there certainly were undesirable elements within this, I think, on the alt-right and alt-left side. And anyway, what they saw let them know that, no, they're not going to burn this town down. And so I put out a message after speaking with people on the phone for nearly the whole entire day straight and not being able to field probably 90% of my calls that were just rolling in and rolling mm-hmm. in. I decided I needed to send out a message so that everybody understands my position as the mayor of this community. I represent a wonderful community. The people who showed up in Snohomish brought ugliness to Snohomish does not represent this community. And I've got friends who live up on the hill that overlooks our valley and towards Snohomish. And even last night, after several people showed up down on First Street, they said that in the evening they saw white headlights after white headlights coming up Highway 9 and turning onto Marsh Road and going out westward toward I-5. The people who are coming into Snohomish to show this ugliness does not define this community. It's outside elements, and sure. Are there some people somewhere in the Snohomish community? Maybe there's a person or two who doesn't define this community very well. Given. That's a given. But my community itself is very open, very welcoming, very kind. There was a high school student I was told about mm-hmm. just a couple years ago who tried a social experiment. Walk up and down Main Street. That's our first street. Without talking to a single person. This was for one of their high school classes, I was told. Anyway, they were not able to do it. They tried several times. It was not successful because there's always somebody there who approaches you and says hi. And so the ugliness that certain media types have taken advantage of to besmirch my community and to totally change the nature of what initially took place in my town, where townsfolk and members of this community showed up to protect this town. I find that reprehensible that my community has been besmirched like this.
I do as well, and I can hear the passion in your voice, and I'm glad you're there speaking out against whomever is on either side of the political aisle or people who aren't political at all. If anyone's going to act out, it's not going to be taken lightly in the city of Snohomish. Their mayor, John Kartak, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Jason. I appreciate you giving me a voice here.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. We're going to continue this conversation when we return right here on KTTH. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. I appreciate all the texts coming in at 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. I don't know if you guys realize this, but we're in the middle of a pandemic still. I know it's hard to believe, especially considering the response to the protests that have been happening. When a small group of protesters got together to fight against what they believed to be unconstitutional moves by the governor, while Inslee didn't break them up, there was a lot of scolding from officials all across the state and all of the fear-mongering of, oh my gosh, people are going to spread this disease. They can't be allowed to do it. But now that Inslee and these other public health leaders and city leaders back the current protest, the message behind the current protest, they're not only encouraging it, in a lot of ways, they're making it easier. And I can actually appreciate them encouraging free speech and making it easier. I just wonder why we're not seeing it applied equally. But there still is the concern coming out that there could potentially be some rather huge outbreaks due to the protests that we've been seeing. And the heartbreaking irony is that the coronavirus has disproportionately impacted communities of color, which are a large part of the protests. And so this could be making a bad situation even worse as it relates to who is impacted the most by COVID-19.
We're always concerned when folks at this point are in large groups of people and the potential threat for spreading COVID.
So that's Secretary of Health for Washington, John Weissman, and he would go on to make a point, and this is the unfortunate reality. If there is some kind of meaningful spike in any of the communities that these protests are occurring, that has some implications as to whether or not a county will be able to go from phase 1 to 1.5 and 2 or 2 to 3 and 3 to 4. That is the reality of the situation. So obviously we hope that's not what's going to happen. The good news is in King County, they finally put in their application to reopen into 1.5, that means all of the phase 2 recreational activities would continue. 25% occupancy for restaurant dining, for the only thing that really matters at this point, getting haircuts. I was scheduled for a haircut this morning, which was then canceled because of Dow Constantine not moving quick enough.
Wait, you didn't get a haircut this morning?
I did not get a haircut this morning, which is why I hate everything in the world right now. And then the Tucker Carlson people told me that I'll probably be on tomorrow, and I was supposed to be on it was either today or tomorrow. And so now I'm hoping that maybe in the next 2 hours we'll get word that they've approved of that so I can go and get my haircut tomorrow morning before TV.
Are you banking on that?
No.
Yeah, you shouldn't be.
I shouldn't be.
Probably just drive somewhere that's open.
I don't have a car.
I forgot.
I don't have a car.
That'd be an expensive Uber.
I would have to go into a completely different county. I mean, I'm right in the smack in the middle of Seattle.
Go to the Stag.
We
talked about it for like 2 weeks. You might as well go see Bob.
I'm not taking a $70 Uber with a mask on the entire time, by the way, all the way to Snohomish, get my hair cut from a guy who I'm sure he's a good dude. I don't trust anyone but one person with my hair. And God forbid if he ever leaves, because I don't know what I'm going to do.
Probably die.
I'll never do TV again. It's just a total nightmare. Total nightmare. Now, Governor Inslee is expected, or at least the Department of Health is expected in the next few days to either give a thumbs up or thumbs down to Snohomish County, which came in first with their application. I believe officially Pierce County put in their application today. It might still be in the works, but they've also approved to move forward. And then, of course, King County. So I'm hoping by Friday, Snohomish County will be able to move into phase number 2. And then presumably a day or so after, then comes Pierce and then comes King. So fingers crossed that this happens relatively quickly. At the same time, we know that the governor just extended some of his proclamations another 60 days. And one of them that was just extended was this prior eviction moratorium. So if you are renting your apartment and you cannot pay, you can't be evicted due to the coronavirus crisis, which in a short term, certainly some folks would understand. But in this case, they're now saying it's extended an additional 60 days. This went into place in mid-March. So I want you to understand there is the possibility right now that there is a landlord who has not been paid rent since March 14th or whenever it was in the middle of March when they instituted this and might not see a dime until August 1st. That is outrageous. And what I haven't seen from this governor is a specific plan to address the bills that the landlords have to pay. When you are a landlord, if you do not fix certain things that go wrong on your property, you will be shut down. You will be sued. You will be kicked out of that position of a landlord. They will just close you down. So if your heater doesn't work or the water doesn't work, you have to call someone, a plumber, a handyman, whoever it is, to do the work. If you don't, you get fined by the city or the state. So if this was to happen in one of these properties in which you're not actually getting your rent, you're in a position where right now you've got bills to pay. You've got to pay that plumber, that electrician, that handy person. You've got to actually pay them. But you've got no income coming in. And on top of that, of course, you have to pay your own mortgage on the property. And I haven't heard a plan coming from this governor as to what can be done to help them. It's just not there. And the same in any of the cities that have decided to institute their versions of this kind of protection. What are you doing for the landlords? And I've said this in the past, the state or the city should essentially be the loan provider. Say, look, this is our policy that's keeping the rent from coming to you. So we will pay the rent on behalf of the client and we will collect from the client after this is all done. I'd prefer the government not get involved at all. But if they're going to get involved and they're going to hurt these individual landlords, you might as well then just get involved so you can at least help one group. But we live in a state, in large part, a lot of these cities, we're talking really about Seattle, maybe Olympia, you've got folks who want to demonize landlords because they're perceived as being rich. Oh, look at those fat cats. They go home to their mansions in Medina and they go swimming in a pool filled with gold bullion. It's not how it works. I mean, for Scrooge McDuck it did, but not for anybody else.
Do people in Medina need pools? I mean, the water's right there. They're like lakefront property.
They need both. They need everything. Don't you know that everyone in Medina has like these huge, massive underground pools too?
I'm so poor, I can't even think of that.
It's insane. All the people, they're so rich. You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. When we come back, we're going to hear from a man, a business owner out in Bellevue that was a victim of this weekend's riot and looting. When we return.